So we are going to, we're in the book of Colossians. We finish Colossians chapter 1, and we're walking our way through. However, I almost had to go preach at another church this morning, or got a notification yesterday, and I was busy working on a series that I'm doing there, and then I found out that I didn't have to go there. So I didn't get to finish the start of Colossians chapter 2 for here. Amen. Which means then that we're going to go back into the Old Testament. And let's see here. To this book, this short book. It's on page 1245. Amen. But no, we're going to look at the book of Jonah. Amen. I shared a little bit about a month ago on Jonah chapter 1 because I started reading it. And the word of God is just so beautiful and so powerful. I started to put together a series to an expository teach on the book of Jonah. And as I began to do that, this brother asked me to come and speak at his church, so I started there. So what I preached last week there, I'm going to preach this week here. Amen. And I'm preaching there next week, so I could be preaching what I'm preaching there next week here next week. So you understand? You got all that? All right. But anywhere you pick up and open in the Word of God, you find applications for your own life. And Paul said all scripture is profitable. Amen. And so let's pray and look at Jonah 1. Father, we thank you now for the word of the Lord. We thank you for the word that comes out of your mouth. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the living God. And so we thank you that your word, Lord, will have free course and find its intended target in each one of us, Lord, that we might be transformed by the very word of the Lord, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. This is a very interesting start to a book. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah. And I think that, you know, when you look at it, it starts with the word of the Lord. And when you look at Jonah chapter 4, the last verse, it actually the book actually ends with God speaking. It starts with the word of the Lord and it ends with the word of the Lord. And why? It is because God wanted his will done. He wanted his will done, and he was revealing his will through the word of the Lord to Jonah. The problem with the situation was that although God was revealing his will to Jonah, Jonah was a prophet who wasn't concerned with the will of God in this particular instance. And as I heard one or read one scholar say, that Jonah is the only prophet who received a word from the Lord and rejected it, ran away from it. He didn't receive it. What we remember about this book of Jonah is that it is the one place that Jesus quoted when the Jews asked for him a sign. He said, "This evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign." He said, "No other sign shall be given it other than that of the prophet Jonah, who spent 3 nights and 3 days in the belly of a fish. So shall the Son of Man spend 3 nights and 3 days in the belly of the earth, in the heart of the earth." Excuse me. He said, "No sign shall be given to this generation other than the sign of the prophet Jonah." And so Jonah himself was a sign. Jonah himself was a sign. And just as Jonah rejected the word of the Lord in his day, the Jews in Jesus' day rejected the word of the Lord for themselves. Remember, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets." He said, "Oh, how often would I have gathered you under my wings, but you would not. You rejected me." And the Bible even says that Jesus would at some point say, for instance, in John 6, Jesus said, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no part with me." Said this, some said this was a very hard saying, and they left him. They came no more around him. Jonah, when he received the word of the Lord, you remember what he did? Oh, yes, he did. So because the word of the Lord said to him and said, go to Joppa. If this was Judea and the Lord said, this was Judea. The Lord said, go to Nineveh, which was north and east of Judea, and preach to them. This is what Jonah did. The Bible says Jonah went to Joppa, which was here. Nineveh's there. And Jonah took a ship to Tarshish. I can't go far enough. That's what Jonah did. And if when we get to it, we'll talk about why Jonah did what he did. Doesn't make it right. But we'll talk about what his motivation was for doing that. But suffice it to say that when the word of the Lord is extremely important was important in Jonah's life, by implication is important in our lives, right? So this just this one verse we're going to concentrate in on today, the word of the Lord. Now the word of the Lord came. Does the word of the Lord, it came to Jonah, does it come to us? It comes to us every day. We have it. We have it. Now, Jonah, I don't think he understood at the time the significance of the word of the Lord coming to him. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible says, remember when little Eli was in the priest in the temple before Eli, the prophet, the little Samuel was ministering before the Lord, before Eli the priest. And the Bible says that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no widespread or open revelation. 1 Samuel 3:1, there was no widespread or open revelation. There was no prophetic vision. God wasn't giving it. Hello. And the word of the Lord was not revealed, but the word of the Lord was revealed to Samuel. The prophetic word, the voice of God through the word of the Lord. And so here Jonah has the word of the Lord coming to him, and we know he rejects it. We have the word of the Lord coming to us. What do we do with the word of the Lord? I'm preaching to the choir. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. Listen, I'm preaching to me first, because when I read Jonah and that hits me, I have to say to myself, what am I doing with the word of the Lord to me that comes to me? And so not only do we see Jonah rejecting the word of the Lord, but all through the book, we see God having mercy. Not on the Ninevites yet. And then get to them. We're talking about God having mercy on Jonah. God is a merciful God. He's having mercy on this prophet who would not listen to him. Perhaps Jonah thought that if I run away from this and don't do it, God will choose another prophet, someone else, to pick up the word of the Lord and do what he said. But how many of you know God had plans? I love this about the book of Jonah. You go through, you do a word search. If you, that's free Bible software online, concluding concordances and all this, study materials. And you can, a searchable database and all this. And so I love doing this when you search the word prepared, just that word. It comes up 4 times in the book of Jonah. Because God prepared when? It didn't mention it there. That's in chapter 1. But it also says God prepared a fish. He prepared a plant, he prepared a worm, and he prepared a vehement east wind. In other words, God's got plans for you and me. Huh? Hebrews 12 says, God chastens every son that he receives. Hello. There's not a child of God that does not receive the chastening of God. Because if you don't receive chastening, then you're not his. Hello. And so here's Jonah. He's going to do what he's going to do. But God has made plans. God has made preparations for you. He made preparations for Jonah. And so in this book, we see God teaching a reluctant prophet about his mercies. What I love about this first verse is how we see again what I'm always trying to, what I repeat over and over and over again, is that is this: God first. The Bible says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Whenever there's communication between God and man, God is always first. He's always first. Adam and Eve in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, God comes down the cool of the day to spend time with Adam and Eve. Where does he find them? Is that him? Did you choose? They're hiding. But here he is initiating. He knows what they've done. He knows where they are. But he still comes. Why? Because he's the great initiator. He's the great communicator. He's going to find you. Where, doesn't matter where you are, he's coming to you. And so here we find the word of the Lord coming to Jonah. God is always the initiator. Why is that with man? Because man's in a fallen condition. Man doesn't want God. When God found you and I, it was like when he found Saul of Tarsus. Saul was on his horse, going where he wanted to go, doing what he wanted to do. Hello. And he was a covenant man, quote unquote, old covenant man. Until God knocked him off his horse. Acts chapter 9. And showed him a different plan for his life. And so we see God, we have God here communicating with the prophet Jonah. How did he communicate? The scripture says that he communicated by the word of the Lord. How did the word of the Lord come to people in those days? Came the same way they do a lot of times to you and I. Dreams, visions, angels, still, small voice, wind. The Jews had the Urim and the Thummim. And we might also consider the casting of lots. Hello. When they replaced Judas Iscariot in the book of Matthew, the book of Acts, thank you, they cast lots of all things. But they prayed. They said, Lord, who do you want to fulfill his office? And they cast lots and drew straws, or however you want to. However they did it, and the Bible says they cast lots, and the lot fell upon, Matthias, I believe. And so he communicated by the word of the Lord. What's interesting is that the book of Hosea, Joel, Micah, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi all start with that the word of the Lord came to Joel, Haggai, Malachi, Micah, Zephaniah. The word of the Lord came to them. What is the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord is simply the revelation of God. It's a revelation of his person. Can be the revelation of his person, revelation of his purposes, his plans, or his will. In this case, in Jonah's case, he's revealing his will. He's revealing his purpose and his plan. And he's including the prophet. He says, prophet, get up and go to Nineveh and preach to them. And so that's what the word of the Lord is, the revelation of God. We see it in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 15 and 6 in the life of Abram. The scripture reads, after these things, Genesis 15 and 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. You remember when Peter, in the book of Acts, when he was... When Cornelius had been praying and God was sending three men to Cornelius was sending men to Peter to get him to preach the gospel, that God, the Bible says that while they prepared the food, Peter fell into a trance. The word of the Lord came to him. So the word of the Lord can come through a trance, an open vision, a night vision. A night vision is simply a dream. It can come through a myriad of ways. But for you and I, number one, mostly used, overwhelmingly used, the way the word of the Lord comes through us right here. This is how it comes, okay? And then secondarily, there are words that can come to us as God reveals his will to us. And so the scripture says about Abram, it said that he saw in a vision, the word of the Lord came to him in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born of my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. So it came to him a second time, came to him again, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. That's the word of the Lord that came to him. It was, I'll never forget when I was working for the business that I now own, and it was 1996, summer of 1996. And as I was standing outside the door, ready to go to my first job, I grabbed the door with my right hand or door with my left hand to pull the sliding glass, the sliding door open. And when I pulled the sliding door open, I heard the Lord say to me, you will not be in this place much longer. Just like that. And oftentimes when God speaks to you, sometimes you say to yourself, is that me or what? Because it can sound like you. It can sound like self-talk. I mean, you're just talking to yourself. You will not be in this place much longer. And then we had a prophet of the Lord in the house, and Howard. You've been here a long time. You remember Howard. And Howard came up to me 2 weeks later and said, Pat, I just keep seeing you and Downey owning this business. I was like, mm-hmm. That's the Lord, because he told me that 2 weeks ago. So that was confirmation. And so that was summer of 1996. The fall of 1996, the owner of the business that I now own came to me and said, you know, we're gonna put the business up for sale. We wanted to know if you were interested. I thought, I better be, because, you know, I'm working for someone now. I'm working for you now. I'll be working for someone else later if I don't try to buy it myself. And so we bought the business, and there it was what the Lord said and confirmed came to pass. So what the Lord said to Abraham, and it was the word of the Lord, because this was quite a word. He says, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Now, getting the business, that's one thing. Being 100 years old, 90 years old, and your wife 80, we're talking about an impossible situation. He was speaking to their lives, I'm going to do that which is impossible with you. It's impossible, not improbable, impossible. New Testament said, him being as good as dead in the deadness of Sarah's womb. They were both dead. There was no likelihood of them getting pregnant. But this was the word of the Lord that came to them, and it came to pass. And so it is, I'm trying to convey how important and how weighty it is when the word of the Lord comes to you and I. When it came to Jonah, that was a serious word that he needed to get on board with. Why? Because God was revealing his will to him. Hello. He was revealing his will to him. Not only was it important and weighty for Jonah, but this is important and weighty for us. Amen? To receive the word of the Lord. One of the greatest things that could ever happen, if not the greatest thing that could ever happen to you, is for God to speak to you. Matter of fact, let me go a step further. Let me say this. The greatest thing that has ever happened to you is the fact that God spoke to you. Hello? Because we were like, for every Christian, anyone who comes to Christ, we were like Lazarus in John 11 in the tomb. And Jesus called. Hello? And John 5, Jesus said, the day is coming and now is when those who are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and those who hear shall live. You cannot live in Christ without hearing his voice. He has to call you. When he called when he called Lazarus, Lazarus got up. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, and you he hath made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. How did he make us alive? When he spoke to us. Just the same one who spoke to Ezekiel in Ezekiel, is it 37:47, where he said, can these dry bones live? And God said, Ezekiel, prophesy to the dead bones. You're like, what? He said, can these dry bones? He said, oh Lord, you know. He says, you then prophesy, speak life to the dead. And it got up. Only God does that. That's why it's so important. That's why the greatest thing that could ever happen to you is that God speak to you. Why? Because there's not ever a time in history or any time before history that God has ever spoken and something has not happened. There's never been a time. You have to remember, he spoke the worlds into existence. We don't put enough value behind the fact that we're created in God's image. You say, why do you say that? You can tell it by what we say to one another. The very fact that we use words means that we were created in his image. And yet we can just let words fly about anybody, anything. I don't know if you've ever had the Holy Spirit. I've had him tell me, don't watch your mouth. Keep your lips off my people, especially his people. Am I the only one? Or you can't say anything you want to about another brother or sister in Christ. Got one amen. Thank you. You can't say anything you want to about anybody without him. Jesus said every idle word that we speak will give an account. God doesn't speak without something happening. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then it says this, and God said. He did by saying. Right? Psalms 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, that word of the Lord here, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Hebrews 11:3 says, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And if Psalms 33:6, where it says the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, in the Hebrew, the word of the Lord there is the same, the word of the Lord in Jonah 1. So when God speaks, what he speaks is creative. It is creative. I think I shared a few weeks ago how in 1 Kings 13, you remember the prophet who was sent from Jonah and the word of the Lord came to him and says, go to Samaria and prophesy against the altar that Jeroboam has built to these calves. Jeroboam was a king in Israel. He didn't want the people of Israel going to Jerusalem, which was in Judea, to worship God there, lest their hearts be drawn back to Judah. So he built a fake altar in Samaria and would offer offerings there. Well, God sent this prophet there to prophesy against the altar by the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord was this, that priest's bones are going to be offered on this altar. And he said, there's a king by the name of Josiah who will come. He said, there's this king named, he prophesied hundreds of years, the birth of a king who was going to come hundreds of years later was going to burn bones on this altar by the word of the Lord. And that word came to pass. So he prophesies this, and then he gets done, and the king says, come home with me, I'll give you a reward. And the prophet said, no, the Lord told me, the word of the Lord was to me, don't go back with anyone. Don't go back home the way that you came. And so he leaves the king, but another prophet comes to him and says, come home with me, for an angel of God told me to bring you back with me. And here's where it gets interesting. Because, see, this prophet had received the word of the Lord. Go prophesy. Don't go back to eat with anyone or drink water. And don't go back home the way you came. It was the word of the Lord to him. But this other prophet lied to him and said, but an angel came to me and told me. What is the word of the Lord to us? What is the word of the Lord to you and I? What if someone comes to us, and this happens, it's going on today. The word of the Lord, we hear what the word of the Lord, we see what the word of the Lord says, but someone else comes up and says, no, but God told me, but no, you need to look at it this way and twist and contort the word. And now you find yourself, you find yourself like Eve. Well, but didn't God say right here? Didn't he say? And so the prophet goes back and he eats with this prophet, this false, with the lying prophet. And because he did not honor the word of the Lord, a lion found him when he was on his way home and killed him. And it's an interesting study in the Old Testament just on the word of the Lord. How important it is, how important it was in the Old Testament. And the word of the Lord, was it 1 Peter, I believe, where he says, this is by which the word of the Lord is preached to you, speaking of the gospel, is that which every man must adhere to in order to be saved. Hebrews chapter 1 declares, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Christ is the word through whom God made the worlds. I like to think of it this way. Not setting doctrine, but when God spoke, the Bible says, and God said, that God the Father and God the Son were so one with one another that when God spoke, his Son, the word came out and accomplished that which he pleased, accomplished that which he wanted to do. Now, I want you to imagine a world without words, just to show you how important the word of the Lord is. Imagine with me for a moment a world without words. Pause for effect. You saying, is he crazy? I know that's what you're thinking. Because there is no world without words. Because this is not a lectern. These are not glasses. Those are not chairs in a world without words. Why? Because nothing exists without words. We can't describe anything. We can't know anything. Why is that? This is why. Because in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that is made. Listen, you cannot see a word. Let me say it again. You cannot see a word. You can see ink written on paper, but that doesn't constitute the word. If I write elephant on the wall, is that an elephant? No. It's a word, but it's just ink on a wall. But you can't see words. Why? Because words preexisted what is made. Words preexist all things. In the beginning was the word, and the word gives, created and gives definition to all things. The Word is the Son, the second person of the Godhead, right? In the beginning was the Word, and all things were created by him. Everything was created and given purpose and definition by the Word of God, or by that which is not created. What is created is not the greatest. What is the greatest is what is not created. That's him. And so when he spoke, he spoke words. When I'm speaking right now, you don't see words flowing out of my mouth. Why? Because you can't see words, and yet words created everything that we see. The words of God. But that also then gives a whole lot of weight to the words that you and I speak to one another, because not only does God create things when he speaks, but we create things when we speak. Don't believe me? Husband, go in there and get it wrong with your wife. Say something foul, and you just created yourself a mess. Hello? She didn't have to see anything. All she had to do was hear what you said. Hello? And so for us, so you cannot see a word, not until the word becomes flesh. We could not see the word until the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so the word of the Lord that's coming to Jonah is very, very important. It is going to bring about, or God intends for it to bring about his purpose. And it does ultimately. Jonah just had to get it in his mind, and God has very persuasive ways. Jonah just had to get it in his mind that he was going to allow the word to have free course in his life. He was going to do it the way God wanted it done. And so when we consider the place of the word in our lives and the place in creation, and I don't know about you, but for me, Hawaii, I cannot get enough of watching these videos of molten rock. Like water. Then you go outside and tap a rock, hit it with your head. Okay. That is it's bubbling up out of the earth. It's bubbling up. And it's almost like Genesis 1 and the days of creation again. And God, he's reforming the face of the earth. The Psalm, I believe it's, I forget which Psalm, says he renews the face of the earth. Hawaii right now is being renewed. I saw a lava flow that had hardened. It was some 40 feet high on a highway. It was a highway. And the thing was as high as the ceiling, lava flow. And I just thought, your island's being recreated. I mean, it's just flowing over homes and over lampposts, everything. It's just flowing over everything. And it's the wonderful creation of God. It's destroying and creating all at the same time. But man, listen, man didn't come from some primordial soup. You know, when you scientists try to figure out where we came from, it said there was this swirling pool of, we don't, it's just swirling, and all of a sudden it spawned a tadpole. Bloop. Tadpole starts swimming around in it. Where the tadpole comes, we have no idea. But that tadpole morphed into a fish, and the fish had grew legs, and it walked up out of this pool. And it grew hair, became a mammal, and its appendages came out, and then it started talking, and it looked around and said, that's a rock, that's a volcano, that's a mountain, that's a... Come on, folks. Are you serious? Are you serious? There's no way that is how it happened. Scientists would have us believe that man began to speak and describe everything, that the words came last. But in the beginning was the word. Not at the end. At the beginning. Because when God created all that he created, he defined it. And he gave it purpose. And he was the one who named Adam. He named him. He told him who he was. So I tell every father, you the one, tell your children who they are. The world don't tell them. I'm trying to figure out who you are. I'm trying to find myself. Find yourself. I'll tell you who you are. Bless God. Oh, no. No, God gave me the power in my voice, in my words, to speak life to you. Hello. Your parents have the power. They're the ones who tell you. Better listen to them. Oh, that's another message. Let me stop. Let me come back over here. And so the word of the Lord created everything, and now the word of the Lord is coming to Jonah, God's creation. God's creation, namely man, will be held accountable to what God reveals about himself. Just like we see in the story of Jonah, God reveals his will to Jonah, and God held Jonah accountable with what he told him about his will. All right. Well, we're going to end early today, Jerry. Let me share, since I have more time, let me mention briefly, just because there's so many examples of this in the word of the Lord. And 1 Samuel, you'll know the first major prophet that come to Israel was Samuel himself. And the people of God asked for a king, and they rejected God as their king, and they asked for a king. And God said to Samuel, go ahead and give the people what they asked for. You have to be careful what you ask for. God may let you have it. Remember Balaam, God let him have what he asked for. That's another story where the word of the Lord came to him Remember the word of the Lord to Balaam? I'll get back to Sammy in a second, but we rabbit trailing right now. But Balaam said, God told Balaam, don't go with these men because you cannot curse Israel because they're blessed. And Balaam tells the princes of Balak, no, go back to Balak, I can't come. Balak sends more princes, more honorable. They say, let nothing hinder you from coming to us. Let nothing, not even God. That's what they're saying. Let nothing hinder you from coming to us. I'm able to honor you. And then the prince said this, I'm able to give you whatever you ask. And I think they're just getting close to naming Balaam's price. Because Balaam said, hold on. I think I'm going to go check with him again, see if he don't change his mind. Well, God is the Lord. He says, he's not a man that he should lie. You know, I am the Lord. I change not. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord. I change not. God hadn't changed, but Balaam felt like his knees were getting little. You give me anything I want? Oh, let me check with him again. And God said, and then so when he went to check with him, God gave Balaam what he really wanted. He said, go ahead, Balaam. They're calling for you. Go ahead. And it was at that point when Balaam left, God said, I'm going to kill him now. God said, you know you shouldn't have gone, but I gave you what you wanted. And that was at that time when the angel stood there with a sword. My God, can you imagine seeing that? Woo! I just went, oh, God. I'm a dead man. His angel standing there with a sword. And he's going to kill Balaam. And the donkey, you know, God had to, this prophet was so blind and couldn't hear to such an extent that God had to open up a donkey's mouth. Listen, when a donkey start talking to you, you know you in a bad way, okay? You know when the cat come around the corner and go, yeah, and you know you ain't been listening to God. When the cat, because the prophet wouldn't hear. And Peter says that God used the donkey to forbade the madness of the prophet because the prophet, he was going to do what Balak wanted him to do. Well, back to 1 Samuel. So God tells Samuel, give them the king that they want. So he gives them this king. God chooses for them Saul. Saul was head and shoulders taller than everyone else in Israel, in the whole nation. That's what the Bible says. Head and shoulders taller than everyone else. And he was a good looking dude. Now, we would all love that. Come on. We would love that. We like good looking people. That's the world for you. Like good looking people. Don't want no dog up in there. But we like good looking people. Taller than everybody else. Come on. That's the way we are. That's flesh. Come on, that's flesh. And it came to a point where Saul had these wars, but then God sent him on a mission. He said, go destroy the Amalekites, because they were fighting against my people when they came out of Egypt. And so Saul takes the people and he goes and he destroys all the people, but he saves Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. And then the people that Saul blame shifted on, he said, the people saved the best of the sheep, the goats, and all this. And Samuel rebuked Saul. And this is what he said. He says, the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel because you rejected the word of the Lord. You rejected the word of the Lord. And so all of that to say that when it opens with, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. That was a big deal, folks. That was a big deal. Jonah is receiving the revelation of God, and yet he does not agree. He does not accept the revelation of God. Well, let me say a little bit about verse 2, and then that's it. I'll close with this. Verse 2 reads, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. What do we learn here? God tells Jonah what to do, get up, where to go, to that great city, Nineveh, who to speak to, what to speak, and why. In other words, God gives Jonah a very detailed word of the Lord. It's like a word of knowledge. He tells him, this is what I want you to do, where I want you to go, what I want you to say, who I want you to say it to, and why. In other words, God has given Jonah everything he needs in order for him to obey what God is telling him to do. And the God who does that then is the same God who does it now. Whenever God speaks to us, he gives clarity enough for us to obey what he's asking of us. Now, you remember Acts chapter 9 when Saul now is born again, but he's blind, right? And the Lord comes to Ananias, and he says, Ananias, I want you to go down to a street called Straight and inquire in the house of one Simon, for there is a one there named Saul, and he's praying. What did Ananias say? Sure, Lord, thank you, on my way. No, no. Ananias says, wait a second, Lord. We didn't heard about this. This is a bad dude. Like, God doesn't know. Let me tell you about him. No, he's bad. I can't, why? And but you see the mercies of God in the New Testament. God, he reasons with, he says, no. He says, I've chosen him. He's a vessel of mine. And now you go and pray for him. And Ananias, he gets up and he goes and he prays. But God sends him a word, very detailed, very pointed, exactly what he needed to do. And the same thing goes on today. I've heard stories. I forget which book I was reading about the woman who, I don't know if it was a book on angels or, I can't remember, it was years ago, but the woman who trusted God for everything in her life, even down to the point where she was, she had some missionaries coming over for dinner. And she had was going to make spaghetti. And so she made the spaghetti, but when she went to make the sauce, she found out that she didn't buy the sauce. And so she was standing in the kitchen, and the people were coming. The people were going to be there, and she didn't have enough time to run to the store. And she just cried out. She says, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Well, the Lord had told one of her neighbors to put on a pot of spaghetti sauce. And when it got done, take the spaghetti sauce to this woman's house. And the woman who the Lord told to make spaghetti sauce, she was used to walking with God. She would do what she felt the Spirit of God saying to her. And so she knocks on the woman's door, opens up the door, and she says, the Lord told me to make this here. The woman broke down in tears. Oh, thank you, thank you. A long story, you don't understand, but thank you. And she poured the spaghetti sauce on, and the meal went off without a hitch. And you say, does things like that happen? They happen. Somebody's life depend on it? No. But does God know every detail of our lives? You better believe it. You better believe it, right? And so it is here. So he gives Jonah everything he needed in order for him to obey. God is the same way today. And I'll close with this story I've shared before. You remember me telling you, I was working at Giant Food years ago, and one night, as we were stocking shelves, I ate something and got food poisoning. And we worked from 11 at night to 7 in the morning. And 7:30, when our shift ended, I literally walked out of the store like this. Oh, God. In such pain, I couldn't stand straight up. I was just bowed over, and I'm crying out to God, because at that time in my life, you know, the Lord was just moving Holy Spirit in ways that I've seen people healed. I've seen multiple people healed, so I'm a big believer in healing. I believe God heals. I've seen him touch people. And so I'm crying out to God, you know, I say, oh, Lord, heal me, touch me, touch me. And the word of the Lord came to me. You know, like I said, in your own voice, the word of the Lord came to me and says, because I was going to drive right past Dart Drug. It's a store that's gone now. Used to work there. But anyhow, it's a pharmacy place, you know, store. It says, get some X-Lax. Everybody know what X-Lax is? It's a laxative. And it said, get some X-Lax, and everything will be fine. And I'm going to get in my car, but see, I'm deep and I'm spiritual. And I said, oh, no. No, God's a healer. And so, Lord, I trust you to heal me. So I drove past Dart Drug. Went on home, got in my bed, bowed over, and I went to sleep. And I woke up hours later, and I'm thinking I'm going to wake up healed and refreshed. And I woke up and got to bed, and I was like, oh, God, help me. Lord, what is going on? And the word of the Lord, this is Jonah 2 and 1. You read it. Jonah chapter 2 and 1, it says this. And the word of the Lord came to him the second time. You read that. That's after the fish. We're going to get to that. It says the word of the Lord came to him the second time. So when I'm up and I'm crying out to God, and the Lord said, this is what he said. I said, go to the store and get some X-Lax. Now, how many of you know when you're in that pain? See, he didn't lift the pain. He didn't. So I drove to the store, bought the X-Lax, and glory, glory, hallelujah, amen. You need, listen, we need to obey God, because after the X-Lax, glory, I was back at work. I was doing what I was supposed to do, amen. Now, listen, if Jonah had obeyed, he would have never gone, you know, he never would have been burped up on land, having been half eaten by the bile of a big fish, looking like, who would have thought of it? You see? So I learned that story. I learned that early in my walk with God. Not that I haven't done it again, but that when the word of the Lord comes, he comes to bless us, and he comes to give us what we need, and we need to hear. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you now for the word of God. And we thank you, oh God, that your word is forever settled in heaven, that it does not change, and that, Lord, we live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Father, I pray that we would have a healthy reverence for the word of God. I pray, oh God, that we would say, as I believe it was David or Job, who says that I esteem your word more highly than my necessary food. Lord, that we recognize the value. Lord, that we recognize the weight and the import of when you speak to us. So let your word have free course. Let your word have free reign in our hearts and in our lives. And Father, may we be a people, Lord, who are ready at the hearing of your word, Lord, to be in agreement and to do your will according to it, we ask. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.